Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell on a Monday. We're brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. More on the Dogs and their big win against the Gators. Guy just sent me a picture. I'm sure you've seen some of those memes out there. Coach Roddenberry with a Kirby Smart driving the boat, and Jake's in the boat, and they got a bunch of Gators in the boat. And it's a pretty funny meme, so I just retweeted that. But, yeah, man, listen, that stuff's out there. When you win, Mike, you said it. This is the thing. When you win these games, these big rivalry games, you can say whatever you want.
Right, and it's cool that Cager, growing up in Miami, of course, transferred from the Hurricanes, saying he was not going to miss this game. Loved watching this as a kid and how big it was. And so, like, he made his imprint on it, that's for sure. You know, I hope you do more of this. You know, I mean, Mizzou is a sneaky game just because, well, it's, you know, SEC divisional rival. But you do like your chances now that you've seen this offense. But again, by no means, Carl, did they spread their wings and they flew. No, it's 24 points, okay? I mean, you know, you're not exactly looking like Steve Spurrier's Gators in the 90s, okay? We're not there yet. But I think it was cool to see Coley do some basically everything that Dog fans had been complaining about, and that the coaches don't listen to the noise and then immediately address the noise after the game by saying that, obviously, how about them Dogs now? Nobody was throwing Fromm out with the bathwater. We just wanted to be as good as everybody else who had a tryout at Georgia quarterback in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I just need him, and it's more about the consistency. For a guy now as a three-year starter, I can't have – it's to have a couple of bad runs, mm-hmm. unexpected. Freshman year, yeah, I get it. That was expected. Not now. And that was the thing. So he needed to kind of prove, again, where he was. And I thought he was everything we needed him to be on Saturday. Big shout out to Jake, because I think he felt it. And I think one of the questions right after the game was, you know, everybody been talking about you. And he was like, yeah, I know. I get it. So he lived up to it. That third down, you know, where they get the 22-yard completion at the at the end there. That throw, Mike, off his back foot.
Right.
It's just a great throw. I mean, it could have gone out of bounds. It was off balance. He just made the perfect throw, and I think that was just another indicator on what kind of day it was for Jake Fromm.
Gary Danielson talked about it. I mean, really just dropping that ball in there with just great accuracy. And I know we've talked about it a lot, and a couple guys brought this up today on Twitter talking to us about it. Put him up, C. Dukes, and Mike Bell, ATL. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929. So, well, you guys are always talking about Fields. Well, it's kind of hard when you got a guy like Fields who might get an invite to the Heisman, you know, banquet, you know, award ceremony, I should say, and he was there. You know, Fromm is a guy that is doing everything that Kirby has asked him, but he had a bad game in South Carolina. It doesn't define him. This is what you saw in the Florida game is more what this Fromm career has been so far at Georgia. By the way, Jacob Eason, Washington's 5-4. That's not on him because they're not playing a lot of defense out there, but it's not like Eason's blowing doors out there in the Pac-12.
No.
But the Fields thing is hard. It's kind of inescapable because it's still out there, and they could be in that Final Four. Most likely they will be.
I agree. And then that even adds more intrigue
right.
for a guy that was at Georgia who a lot of folks say really didn't get a fair shot, whether he did or didn't. You know, to have him battle it out on the field, it would be kind of neat. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of hoping for it. I actually want to see – I would love to see Georgia and Ohio State maybe in a Final Four matchup. We'll see what happens. You got some work to do before we get there. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL. Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Can we talk about what's going on with the Cleveland Browns and what a disaster this has become?
Oof.
We said at the beginning of the season, and everybody was on their jock, Mike Bell. Oh, Cleveland, look at the moves they've made. And I said, we don't know what the culture is. Oh, they got Odell Beckham. We don't know what the culture is. Freddie Kitchens beat everybody last year. This thing's falling apart. It's falling apart.
Won 7 games last year. You know what I mean? So everybody had them ready to rock and roll and win this division. I think what's more impressive is Steelers are dead in the water. Ben Roethlisberger done for the season, and Tomlin's got them to 500. And you don't think the Steelers are going to have a shot to make the playoffs? I mean, that's the story in that division. Now, we'll talk about the Ravens and the great job they did, obviously, against New England. But the Browns, you got Mayfield not looking to a weapon that he should be looking to, and that is Odell Beckham. And now Beckham is starting to chirp. And Beckham spoke after the game yesterday. He was talking about, I don't know, man. I think everybody's doing their job. I don't know. Diddly eye Joe to damned if I know. So now you're starting to see the cracks in the veneer. You got a guy in Kitchens. Again, this is that prisoner of the moment thing we talk about. Well, he was really the guy. Well, maybe you should have expanded the coaching search in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, because Baker liked the guy. Baker has regressed. I mean, everybody has his story. Like Gardner Minshew. Ooh, now Gardner Minshew's cooled off a little bit, hadn't he? But getting back to the guys that were drafted, the guy that should have been picked first, some people, I don't know what they thought or they didn't think, was Lamar Jackson. But getting back to the Browns, what do you do now? Are you going to blow the coach out after 1 year? If you don't win another game and you're the Cleveland Browns, we're going to get, by the way, Kareem Hunt apparently in the game plan next week. Don't you have to blow Kitchens out at the end of the year?
You have to. I mean, how many more first-round picks do you need? This is a team. Go look at the roster.
Where's the defense with all the guys they added on defense,
that's,
too?
That's the thing. I mean, listen, Myles Garrett has been really good, but they go look at how many first-round picks they have. How many more do you need, Mike? Allegedly, Baker was supposed to be your franchise quarterback. We know how good Nick Chubb is. You got a running back. You got two of the best wide receivers in the league. I mean, for us, I just think right now you can't make any excuse as to why this thing's not working except for bad culture. It's a bad culture because of the crap that's going on. Freddie Kitchens is a first-time head coach. And now, Mike, when things are getting hot, people are starting to pop off, and this thing's just going to continue to unpeel. I guarantee you, it's only going
to
get worse.
You lost to a bad Broncos team, if you didn't see it, 24-19, and they miss a wide-open Odell Beckham who had beaten his man, but Mayfield doesn't see him. So, again, Mayfield, we always used to joke around about the chip on his shoulder. You and I thought this guy would be it, and we've said it a million times. I think we're a little wrong on this one. We were right about Deshaun Watson being first overall, but Baker Mayfield, man, you better get a guy that can fix you. Because I don't know if Kitchens is that guy.
No.
And he's a lost puppy right now.
It's a great point. NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical, medical.com, should I say. Check them out at Priority Medical, PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's talk about the other story in this Browns game, Mike. Jermaine Whitehead.
Now, if you're not familiar with how this went down, he gets absolutely trucked, and there was no other way to describe it, by the rookie tight end for the Broncos. He just gets run over. And everybody has some fun with it on national, you know, whether it's NFL Network or ESPN. And a lot of people, even guys who cover his own team, were having some fun at his expense. And then he took to Twitter.
That's a bad idea. I won't read the Twitter comments, but a lot of F-bombs. And you can go check this out if you want to go see it. Bottom line is there was a lot of name calling, and his Twitter account has been suspended by the Browns. The Browns immediately found out about it.
Okay, I got one for you. We'll go with Mike Conte's trick. Mike's off today, where we take a dirty word and we'll substitute like Mad Libs.
Yeah,
a fun word.
That's fine. You can go ahead.
Okay, we're just talking about brisket, right? In Texas?
It's delicious.
Let's insert brisket. Don't get short a little brisket. You can whoop my brisket football. Let me know when you need the address. He puts his own address out there, inviting people to come over and get in fisticuffs with him.
Yeah, but here's where it went wrong. When you add another tweet talking about you're going to kill somebody.
That's true. And he's talking about blood. I mean, you really can't read these with it, even when you put brisket in there.
That's my point.
I'm out there with a broke hand. Don't get smoked brisket. Use cracker too. Don't do that. And like a Ritz cracker. You can probably dump that too. Well, Squid, you wrote. I'm like Ron Burgundy. You wrote it. How is this my fault? You put this in the show prep, and I read it on the air, and then you shake your head at me, Carl.
I told you it wasn't even worth reading. Did I not say, Jahi? Go read it. This is why I didn't read it.
Yeah. So anyway, he got cut.
Yes, he did.
He's threatening everybody. I'm going to kill you, blank. That's on blood.
No, use brisket. Use brisket.
I'm going to kill you, brisket.
That's on blood. Yeah, he went way too far.
He's missing a lot of prepositions in his Twitter rants here. But anyway, he then later goes on Instagram and doubles down on it. So he's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. Does he play in the league again? It's my question.
Not this year.
Yeah, I think he's done. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, let's talk about Lamar Jackson. Here's what's crazy. Turn the music down for a second. Atlanta, we saw this guy. His name was Mike Vick. Turn the music back up. Lamar Jackson has the league going crazy. And last night, he was brilliant. Is he going to be better than Mike Vick after 13 years? I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure he's not going to have to spend some time in the pen because of something that he does. But at the end of the day, I'm talking skill set. Mike, he is the new must-see. He is the new man. What is Lamar going to do because of what he's been able to do to teams?
Well, they run the ball. They run the ball. They set up the. I mean, they set up the pass plays. He's making good decisions with the ball. Sometimes he'll throw it away. The only concern is that he is going to get hit and take those hits. That's what, you know, RG3 is a backup there down in Baltimore, up in Baltimore, I should say. But the guy has just done it his whole career. Remember the famous story? It's pretty great, where his mom's he's recruited to play at this high school down in Broward County, and she's like, no, he's not playing wide receiver. He's a quarterback.
That's right.
You know, and eventually he gets a shot with Louisville. The guy just makes plays, and it's certainly, I think, in this league, you want a guy who just plain wins, and we thought Baker Mayfield was that guy. Baker Mayfield is a child. He's petulant. He's not a leader in that team, and you got Lamar Jackson, and everybody's rallying around that guy, from the general manager to the head coach to Earl Thomas. They love playing with this guy.
It's true. All you got to do is listen to the veterans on that team. Here is Lamar Jackson on being called MVP. I hope you can make this out, but this is what he had to say in regards to people saying that, because he is in the conversation now. Actually, I think it's Russell Wilson right now, but he's a close second.
It's pretty cool, but like I said before, I'm focused on winning, and we got it done today. We got a bill, get ready for Seattle next week.
He's got the right mindset, Mike. He's saying all the right things. He's even made fun of himself. Remember early in the year when they were like, hey, Lamar, you threw for all those yards. And he was like, not bad for a running back.
Right.
He's made fun of himself. But the deal is, he gets it. And so now he's having the success, and I'm curious to see how far they can go. I told you, I thought this was a dangerous game for the Patriots. Now, that doesn't mean in a rematch that the Patriots won't figure this out. But I felt like that if anybody could pose a threat to what the Patriots were doing defensively, it was this guy.
But the commitment from Ozzie Newsome in his last draft, you know, to then go with John, to go with Harbaugh and say, look, we're going to have to build around this, commit to the offensive coordinator's plan for this guy, and they do it. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. Now, Josh Allen's doing okay with Buffalo, but everybody else up there so far is a zero in spikes, including, if you didn't see the Jets-Dolphins game, Sam Darnold looks like he's regressing, if that's possible, for the Jets. So you got all these guys who go, and then he's the final guy taken in the first round, as you know, and Lamar Jackson is just doing some great things. And I think, unlike Mike, no disrespect to Vic, as Vic later told us in an interview, he was the first guy to leave and the last guy to get there. And I think Lamar Jackson's putting the work in, which hopefully he'll continue to have a great head on his shoulders, because right now it's a fantastic story. And the coaching staff and the plan against the Patriots last night, as we said earlier, these guys have beaten New England before, different people on the roster.
Yeah.
But they're not intimidated by New England. They did a fantastic job last night.
That they did. It's our NFL Blitz segment. Speaking of Russell Wilson, they're dangerous, Mike. You know, Russ, 5 touchdowns yesterday. They beat the Buccaneers 40-34. Here's what Russell had to say, basically talking about the missed field goals in this game.
Obviously, it's disappointing when we miss those opportunities, but it wasn't just that. You know, there's so many other opportunities that we could have had throughout the game. And I think the thing is it's not difficult for us to be able to stay neutral, to stay focused on the mission.
Okay, so I want you to hear from Jameis Winston. His team loses, by the way. The Bucs are 2-6. 2-6, 2-3 away from home. Here's what Jameis Winston had to say afterwards.
We fought hard, and that's all we can ask for everybody to do is give it all they got. We just fell up short. They have a good team, too. Their quarterback did a great job finishing. And we just got to get back in there and go at it again.
All right, I only bring that up because we got 4 division games, guys. New Orleans, at New Orleans, at Carolina.
Right.
Cam's not back. Doesn't look like Cam's going to be back anytime soon. Tampa's not any good. Neither are we, but I'm just telling you. Is it out of the question to think that you could win a few of these divisional games?
For some reason, the Buccaneers get up for the NFC West because they beat the Rams in the Coliseum. We obviously get embarrassed in the first half against Seattle. We battle back to make it respectable, but they go on the road and have them on the ropes and have to go to overtime, do Tampa Bay. So again, Jameis, he's still not giving you the slam dunk for Tampa Bay to give him another contract, is he, though?
Not
I mean,
at all.
It's hard to figure out where they're going to go with this, but certainly the Bucs did show up in Seattle. We've got the Saints. Saints are rolling. We've talked about everything they're going to have up their sleeve. We've moved some coaches around on the big Monopoly board up at Flowery Branch, trying to get some changes and maybe new sets of eyes on the problems. Only truth, time will tell on Saturday at 1 o'clock down here at the Superdome.
Packers lose, by the way, to the Chargers 26-11. Aaron Rodgers saying hopefully this is a wake-up call for them. NFL Blitz is brought to you by PriorityMensMedical.com. When we come back, it's in case you missed it, Mike and I will get into the biggest college football story of the weekend. It's not what you think. Next. Falcons making changes. Don't drive off the road. Nobody's been let go. But internally making some changes. Mike and I will talk more about that coming up in our Falcon Report as Dan Quinn addressing the media today. Guys back on the field as we start to get ready for the Saints. In case you missed it, it's on the way in 20 minutes. Mike Conte's off today, but we got some fun stuff we'll get to. Something that is not fun is college coaches losing their jobs. And it doesn't matter if it's your coach or not. This story is one that was looming. It surprised me. I was out golfing yesterday and was busy and enjoying the day. And if you were here in Atlanta, Mike was in Austin yesterday. But it was a beautiful day outside, man. Tried to take advantage of it. Really wasn't paying attention to my phone. Falcons weren't playing. Fantasy scores, that's about it. Then I get home and I see that Willie Taggart's been fired by Florida State. And, Mike, you had brought this up because, again, for those who don't know, Mike follows Florida State. And we kind of mentioned this time and time again. If they were going to do this, it was going to cost them a lot of money. We both said, where's the money coming from?
Right.
Well, obviously, they were able to raise the money because he leaves, he gets fired, and they're going to pay him $17 million on the way out.
Yeah, $18 million altogether. And then there's also you add up the money you got to pay the assistant coaches. It comes to over $20, $22 million. It's interesting. How does this go down? Well, pretty simple. The big money alum say, all right, we're not dealing with this anymore, and we're going to give you the money to buy out. And if you don't take this money to buy out Coach Taggart, you're not getting any more money for anything else, including women's softball, volleyball, and the other programs. It's really a hot mess in Tallahassee. I've been a booster for 3 or 4 years. Not a booster this year because I was upset with where the program was going myself. I'm one of those guys who's not down there at Doak. Andy Staples wrote this great article talking about how they're losing millions of dollars each week with empty seats. It's the lowest attendance. Florida State, you got to go back to like when the stadium looked like an erector set. You know, back when Bobby Bowden was building the program, Carl, to see that kind of attendance drop. So it just was not going anywhere. They lose to a mediocre Miami team over the weekend. There's been some really bad losses with Taggart. And unfortunately, the hallmark of this program under Taggart, undisciplined, just dumb plays. No situational awareness, no clock management. He's not been a great recruiter. And I lobbied for this guy. Remember you and I 3 years ago, talked about this when Jimbo was on the way out. I thought the guy, first off, I thought, supposed to be a great recruiter, you know? Then you go back and you really look at it. Shame on us for the guys that were lobbying for this guy. He's under 500 for his career. Either way, a lot of people are saying you don't do a guy like that. He hadn't even gotten 2 years under his belt. I say to you guys, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, you're not watching Florida State every week. It's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster. And that's where the money was thrown in to say, look, we've got it. We've got to just stem the bleeding now and be out there as the first team that can really start to make a play for the next head coach. Now, Carl, where that money's going to come from is anybody's guess because the athletic director has no experience in these kind of hires. He's a bean counter. They're hemorrhaging money. They got all sorts of issues across the board. The university president is like Dean Wormer in Animal House. He's spineless, John Thrasher. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes and who's going to be that guy because all the leading candidates have some pretty good size buyouts to get him in the first place, as Taggart did from Oregon.
Well, that's the thing. So you take the $20 million, you just cut the check. Add another 10 to 15 onto that for this transition because it's going to cost $5 or $4 or $3 to buy somebody out. And then you're going to pay the new head coach whatever he's going to get, and that will be guaranteed money. And let's just say it's $4 to $5 million, whatever. It's Florida State. He's not going there for $1 million. Okay.
Right.
It's going to be significant.
But they gave Taggart $5 million. A lot of that, this goes back to the outgoing athletic director from a year ago, Stan Wilcox, because he went on to work for NCAA. And he gave this ridiculous contract. A lot of people said you kind of overpaid Taggart in the first place.
You probably did.
To your point, now you got to deal with the buyout.
And then, you know, then you got to pay the new assistants. So this is not going to be a cheap endeavor. I will say this, and I put this out there on Twitter, and there's two sides of this, and I want to be clear about it. To Mike's point, and I've always said this, it's sort of like what's going on with our Falcons. If you feel like things are not moving in the direction that you feel like they should as an owner or an AD, you move on. Doesn't matter what the person looks like. Doesn't matter if they're if they've got experience or no experience. You've got to move on. So Florida State made that decision. And I don't think anybody can debate right now with the product on the field how bad it was, and it didn't seem like it was moving in the right direction. So the decision was made. But my issue is, and it's not a Willie Taggart issue, it's a college football issue. And I said this last night, and people were responding, but, you know, when black head coaches lose their job, seemingly they just don't get the same time as other coaches, specifically white coaches. And I said, see John Embry at Colorado, Ty Willingham at Notre Dame, Charlie Strong at Texas. And some people will look at this and say the same thing. Now, I understand, he's not doing the job, Mike. And if you feel that way, you got to cut bait and move on. It's a big check to cut. But you'd rather do this now than be 3 years from now way worse than where you currently are. Recruiting base is completely gone. Fan base is not interested.
Right.
So I give Florida State credit. But I will say it's hard for these black college coaches to get their first head coaching job at a major university like Taggart, because he was at Oregon for the year and then he goes to Florida State. He won't get another head coaching job anytime soon. He'll go to being a coordinator, but those jobs just don't get recycled right. like that for black head coaches.
And I understand like the racial component, because I was talking about this on Twitter with a couple of guys today. I said, look, you hire you're forward thinking. You hired an African American head coach, and then you let him go, and now you're racist. No, he didn't meet your standards.
No.
But I understand that there's a woefully shortfall when it comes to African American head coaches in across the board, NFL or in the college ranks. But the problem here with Florida State was Carl, I said this to you a million times off the air, it was a bait and switch. I thought he was a great recruiter. He has not recruited a quarterback. Supposed to be a great offensive mind. He took away his own play calling duties last year, brought in a new OC.
Sure did.
So to me, as a fan, it's a bait and switch. But I understand if you're an African-American football fan and not familiar with Florida State, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I can't speak to Arkansas with Chad Morris, who's probably the next guy to get fired.
I agree.
And I don't know what Scott Frost is going to get extra year because he's the prodigal son in Nebraska, but they're not doing anything special. But Chad Morris to be the next guy. I do think, Carl, black, white, green, or brown, nobody gets 3 years anymore to turn a program around.
Well, but that's the thing. We're going to see. Frost, I think we'll see. If Frost gets 5 years, you tell me.
Well, I'll give you an example. Down the road, Miami Hurricanes. They gave Al Golden 5 years, and he was in fifth year when everybody knew by year three this guy wasn't the guy.
And that's what I'm saying, Mike. That's another example. So those are two separate deals. But this is a huge story because all of a sudden now, in the middle of the season, you've got one of the premier jobs open. Don't tell me it's not. Every coach in the country will tell you can go to Florida State and win a national championship. Jimbo chose to leave because A&M cut him a ridiculous amount of money.
Right.
And we'll see if he lives up to it over the next 7 or 8 years. But that is a good job. And, Mike, they could have their pick. But the problem is the finances will play. Because you can't just go, well, we'll pay whoever, and here's our list. You've got to be really frugal in how you go about this list of potential coaches that they might go after.
Now, Jim McElwain was in his third season when he got fired. Remember that was even before he had the threatening letter, which he couldn't really substantiate, and he was gone. But he did win two SEC East titles and got blown out. And so, I mean, if you're looking for some correlation, there's an eye test. And in the case of Taggart with FSU, it just wasn't working. It's bad. I mean, and you stem the bleeding, you get out in front of whoever you think's the guy. Iowa State head coach, Minnesota, by the way, P.J. Fleck. He's got to beat Penn State. If he beats Penn State, he'll be the hottest name out there for any team looking for a new head coach. There's guys like Mark Stoops at Kentucky. He gets Florida State, gets recruiting. And then there's even Lane Kiffin. Would you touch Lane Kiffin with a 10-foot pole? Is that still too hot?
He's going to come cheaper than a lot of these guys.
That's the rub.
He's going to come cheaper than a lot of these guys. I mean,
So FSU's they're in a big problem. They got no money. They don't have the guys with the deep pockets just shelled it out. So they don't have the endowment of other universities. Fans like me, and I'm guilty as charged. I breeze in, breeze out when they're not good. I'm not going out of Tallahassee making the 5-hour trip.
Yeah,
listen, I mean, so that's the problem they're dealing with.
But you know, this is why I think you almost need to bring in a guy like Mike Leach, who would be innovative enough to create an offense that would be fun and interesting, and you would get the excitement back. Not only that, Mike, you start talking about all the Florida kids wanting to go play again for Florida State and what that kind of style of offense. This dude has won in Lubbock, Texas, and Pullman, Washington. If you've never been to both, and I have, they're nothings, okay? They're both cities are blah.
Right.
Lubbock, you fly right over, you wouldn't know whether it was a farm or the city. Pullman, Washington. Mike Leach is interesting, and that's what I think they need, but they also need the experience. They need somebody who's been there, done that, built programs, but Mike brings a sense of excitement to what needs to happen. And that's the dilemma that I think Florida State's in. We'll see. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of guys that want the job, and then there's going to be some guys who we can't pay, a $2 million buyout for some of these guys.
But it is, as I said, it's going to be very interesting to see where they go. Certainly, it's a team that's going to, people will always want to go there in the state of Florida, but it's funny how Florida in the state – Florida Gators, Miami Hurricanes, somebody's always rising and falling. Right now, the Hurricanes are nothing special, but they just made Florida State look embarrassed, and that's why the coach got. When you see a guy on television, a Miami fan, wearing Florida State, keep Coach Taggart, that's when you become sort of the punchline to a joke, just like McElwain was for Florida at the end.
Yeah, but here's the thing about McElwain. That was much more of the internal politics than it was him winning. Again, you win the East 2 years in a row. It's the way he handled the situation with the fan base. To me, that's a different deal than just winning and losing and how your team looks. But I'm curious to see what happens. This is a big deal, man, over the weekend. It happened yesterday.
I just think there's an immediacy now in all forms. I mean, college and pro and all sports, you know. I just think you're not going to see boosters and administrations have as much patience. Now, again, I can't speak for Arkansas. Their coach is 4-17, had the worst team in the SEC.
They are.
He would be the next guy to get got.
I want to see if he does, like now. Because until that happens, we can't have that conversation. All these guys you want to say may get fired until they do.
But hey,
and how long they've been there, let's talk about
but
it.
But I lobbied for Taggart, and then I realized Taggart was a fraud, and then I wanted him gone. And they were aggressive enough to make the move where a lot of teams would have rolled with it and screwed your recruiting cycle up.
Well, this is where the AD has some balls to make the move. Join 92.9 The Game and Randy McMichael at the Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta. You're coming out my way, huh?
Hey.
Randy McMichael! 5-7, guys. It's Saturday. Grab a beer, watch all the college football action, and register for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Peach Bowl, courtesy of Dos Equis. So that's going down Saturday. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
All right, Mike Conte is out, so we can tackle some subject matter, which Mike might be uncomfortable with. When we come back, Carl, dipping the pen in company ink.
Coming up in 15 minutes, the top 15 and who realistically have a shot at getting to the college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow. We'll be all over it. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. That's on the way. But right now, it is time for, in case you missed it, Mike Conte's out, which means Mike has Flilf, Florin, Flilf.
That's what we do here. We have a little little dirty stuff. You know, I mean, they ain't filthy. It's just more about an ethical question,
well,
Carl.
I heard you talk about dipping pens, Mike.
In company, ink. You hear about what's going on at McDonald's?
No.
Steve Easterbrook, CEO, he got fired. He was found to be in a, quote, consensual relationship with an unidentified employee. Now, apparently that's a no-go by their HR policy. Press release from McDonald's said he violated company policy and demonstrated poor judgment in entering this relationship.
The CEO was ink in company ink.
Yeah. Special sauce.
Wow. Now, what? Here's the thing. If you're the CEO of McDonald's, don't you think that you could have pretty much, I'm guessing, any woman you want?
I mean, if you're married, some women frown on that sort of thing.
I'm just saying. Don't you think?
I mean, if you're well known to be married with children, you know.
You couldn't go outside of the building?
You'd think.
All right.
But anyway.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about this.
Article in USA Today follows up with this, and they talked to some counselors and people who are in the know about this subject. Should you date your boss is the headline here in USA Today.
Okay, how do you feel about this?
No, that's a no-go.
Never?
I mean, have sex with your boss, yes. Date, no.
You should...
I don't think date. I think you want to
Christmas never
Christmas party. You know, you're single at the time. You're tying one on. If you want to have sex with your boss, I say go for
okay.
it. But
all
I mean,
right.
Long term relationship. That's probably a non-starter.
No.
Now I worked at a company that doesn't exist anymore that basically broke every rule in the HR book.
Yeah.
Where everybody was dating everybody and it was a free for all.
I think Mike. Most of the early radio stations I worked for, it was kind of like that. I remember being at parties and craziness going on, and it was right. like what? But I'm just curious where you stand on that. Bo, why are you looking at me like, do you date the boss? You date the boss?
I mean, as I said, I mean, I think if you're like, if you're younger, like you're in your early 20s in radio, yeah. And let's say there's a general manager, an attractive older woman, and okay. that's kind of exciting when you're a younger guy.
Why you have to describe that particular scenario?
Just saying. It's a guy I knew.
Okay, I understand.
It's a guy I knew.
All right, so yeah, that's just an interesting question to ponder, by the way. Now, most people would say, as you just did, no. Yeah.
Right.
Sex, maybe, but dating, no.
In the USA Today article, Allison Green, the founder of the career advice website called Ask a Manager, says, quote, you 100% cannot date your boss. Or more to the point, your boss cannot date you.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, I think you can date the boss. The boss can't date you. There's a different standard when you are in charge.
Right.
You know, that's
no,
the
look,
thing.
We all know, we've all worked with guys that are creeps and, you know, women, they're like, oh, this guy, I got to deal with this guy. And you wouldn't want your wife or your daughter in that kind of work environment. But I always get a kick when you hear these stories. Like that ridiculous movie with Michael Douglas with Demi Moore is like sexually harassing him.
Oh, yeah. Disclosure or what was it called? Disclosure? Yeah.
Whatever that was.
Something like that.
What a ridiculous premise.
Somebody remember that movie because it was on a couple of weeks ago and I found myself watching it.
If you're ever going to try to make that movie sellable, you can't have the person doing the sexual harassment be as hot as Demi Moore. Okay.
Let's, yeah.
I mean, you want to have some plausibility here, yeah. You know?
Well, she calls him in the office. Now you got me thinking about that movie.
I mean, if the woman looked like Ruth Buzzy, she called him in the office, that might change the mindset of the whole narrative.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can read up.
By the way, would you have done that?
Demi Moore.
No, I mean the movie. Like when you get called in the office, what do you do there? What do you do?
I think you play ball.
Never mind.
What the hell? It's again, how flexible are your morals? What's the work situation?
Because here's the deal.
If this incredibly hot woman has you over a barrel, I guess you have to play ball.
Well, that was the thing. It was a complete role reversal because usually those are positions,
right.
And now this is all the whole Me Too thing.
Right, right.
Men in power using their power to influence, mm-hmm. and, you know.
And again, it was long overdue. I think we all agree with it.
Yeah, but I just think, too, that if women are in charge and it goes, it's right. both ways.
Correct. Well, that's even more exciting.
Okay,
hey,
never
man,
mind.
It is in case you missed it. Normally with Mike Conti, but again, he has no part of this. And neither does Squidbilly, too. It just continues to shake his head behind the glass, which I can't tell you how much that instills confidence in the radio host.
Well, I think he's still contemplating whether you should date the boss or not.
It is brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. Hey, what's going on with Chris Carter? Chris Carter, all he does is catch touchdowns. Apparently, he's going round and round with Fox Sports. He has missed the past three shows of First Things First on FS1. Apparently, the front office sports, who covers the business of television and radio, reports that he is feuding with network brass over the decision to keep him off of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I think it's the workload. If you don't watch that show with my boy Nick, they get up very early. They're in L.A., and he's doing these Thursday night games. I think he just wants to... A little bit less of the workload. I think part of his deal, from what I heard, is it included this.
Okay.
They wanted to help build their Thursday night football for the brand. So you've got Hall of Famers on there like Chris Carter and some other guys. I don't think he wants to do it anymore. That's why I think he's beefing.
Yeah, taking a leave of absence, and we'll see where this goes. Again, one high-placed source says that Carter is miffed at not being included in the pregame coverage. So I guess he actually wants to do more. But I guess they're keeping him off. They're using Gronk and they're using Tony Gonzalez for what it's
worth. Listen, I think Gronk's going to be a star.
He's got a likability thing.
Yes, he does.
If you have seen some of the stuff he's been doing, guys, they had him in the New York show for the with Terry and the guys. It's actually, he's very likable. I think he's kind of a lovable knucklehead, but he's actually brought some good insight to what it's like playing as a Patriot, and he does kind of leave the door open to crack to the idea of maybe coming back. Hey, man, some other stuff for you. Over the weekend, we found out, now I'm a big racing car fan, as you're going to, Squidbilly and I do this podcast, Formula 101. I was just down in Austin for Formula 1. Lewis Hamilton wins his sixth world championship for Mercedes, AMG Petronas, and it was a nice day at the racetrack. But real quick, I want to give you some of the flavor. You know what they do in Texas, Carl? And it's kind of cool. They have the Texas Longhorn marching band on the front stretch.
Okay.
And they play a couple of tunes, get people going.
Get your horns up.
And then they get the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders to come out.
Wow.
And so you got the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders doing a routine on the front stretch of the racetrack. Formula One cars all lined up. So I got a German guy, this Polish guys that were there to root for Kubica. They're sitting behind me. The German guy, we're having a good time talking. He goes, "This is unbelievable. You've got to love America." Isn't that sweet? There's still things that translate, Carl, all around the world. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders doing their thing in various suggestive poses, and then F-18s flying over. America, baby, you got to love it. Also in the world of racing, Roger Penske bought IndyCar. One of the most successful race car and race driver, team owners, has bought the entire series and the racetrack, Carl. So now it's owned by a guy that actually fields a team in the series. So there will not be a conflict of interest.
Very cool. Where's the next race, by the way?
Indy starts, they're done for this season. They'll start down in St. Pete next year, but of course, Indy 500, Memorial Day weekend. It's a good fit. Roger Penske, he's got the Midas touch, everything he's involved with.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. That is in case you missed it. We're going to talk dogs and rankings and what this win against Florida means. We are live inside of the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. It's Dukes and Bell on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.